they were a ways back. I doubt that any of those folks are with us today, but it is important that we recognize that children in Sunday school and teaching about the Bible has always been important. There may be a few people in that picture that are with us. This one right here? This one. This guy right here is your oldest. This one. Okay. That's David. Paul. Okay. Are you in any of these pictures? No. Okay. Very good. Very good. I think it's just interesting, and it's a part of what we're doing until we get to October. We're taking a look at some of these historical moments. Several things I want to share in prayer this morning. First of all, I want to thank you all for your prayers last week. This funeral service that I did Sunday afternoon went well, and I always pray that folks will be blessed and give the Lord the credit for that. You know, the Lord is the one who gives us the blessing and enables us to bless others at their time of loss. I also want to thank the Lord. I got back from Nelson's house on Friday because I got lost. And I'm really happy to have Nelson with us today. Isn't that a great answer to prayer that he's able to be with us today? We just need to keep praying for him as he continues to recover and stabilize from all of the procedures that he needed to have done. So we're grateful to have you with us today. What else would you all like to pray about? Joy? Yes, and I know that Tony is struggling with where she goes from this point. So pray that the Lord will speak to her and give her comfort and peace, and that she can make a good decision. Yes, ma'am.
Remember the Bond and the Mitchell family. They each lost a loved one this week, and they live in the community.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate that. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. We'll keep him in prayer. Yes. Go ahead, Lois. A great story. I like that. We talked about the lost sheep in Sunday school today and how frustrated we are when we lose something and how grateful we are when we find it. And that's how God feels about people who are still lost sheep that he'd like to bring into the fold. Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll do it. Anybody else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Alabama, where my parents are, so he stopped visiting me and he's going on to Alabama.
pray for you all to have a good day together. Yeah, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. Tell me, what happens when you fall off a horse?
You land on the ground.
What do you do?
Get back up.
Is that what you did?
You do.
We're so grateful. I'm so excited about her taking horse riding lessons. And I didn't know until this morning that she fell off. Karen fell off. So we just keep praying for you. I'm glad you're doing it and are having fun. Great. That is a good praise. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so I've not worked for probably 10 years or more. And so when I got back from the beach, I looked at the newspaper and there was this position for an assistant at the visitor center in Galax. And it described what they were looking for and everything. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is me. I can do this job. So I was at my sister-in-law's and she ran off the application and I filled it out and everything. Well, I never even dreamed of getting an interview, let alone anything else. And so I got a call. The same day I submitted the application, I got a call for an interview. So I went in for my interview on Friday, and they told me that they were interviewing all the candidates for the job on Friday, and it would be the first of the week sometime when they make their decision. So I was okay with that because I thought, it went pretty good. You know, you have to build yourself up. And so anyway, that evening, I am now the assistant at the visitor center.
And you know what else you are? You're a tax-paying, hard-working citizen. Not that you weren't before, but now you have a job. They're going to take a fourth of it anyways. That's the way it goes. That's what we do. Congratulations. What a great praise. What a great story. We need to keep the Marshalls and the Leonards as they parade home. I know they take two different routes, but all their vehicles and all their people, and Yvette texted me this morning and said they had a good time, which means nobody drowned, and that's always a good thing. Not that we're expecting that, but I know they're coming home, and I know that they need that time away so much, all the things that they are committed to and are doing. Keep Patty and I in prayer. We're going camping for a few nights, two or three nights. We're leaving sometime shortly this afternoon after we get home and get things settled. So we spent the last two or three days packing up the motorhome and getting it ready to go. So just keep us in prayer. I'll be back in the office Thursday. But call if you need anything. And God is really good to give us this opportunity to slip away,
Are you driving your
new toy? Oh, my motorcycle. Yes. I have driven the motorcycle several days. And I look at the weather, and if it's 20% or less chance of rain, I'll drive it. And except for Friday, something told me, don't ride the motorcycle Friday when you're going to see Nelson. And after I pulled off the dirt road into Nelson's driveway and opened the cattle gate and went through, I'm thinking to myself, I am really glad that I didn't ride the motorcycle today. It's a three-wheel trike, but anyways, so yeah, God's helping me to get used to that and keeping me safe on that as well. So we'll just keep working on that, but we're not taking that camping, so no. Anything else? Yes, Joy. Good. Great. Let's continue in prayer as we go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to pray. And our prayers are about life. the challenges, the joys. Our prayers are about our friends that we want to support in life. Our prayers touch us with you. Our prayers are powerful because you are real and because you listen. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the reality of prayer, because we need prayer and we don't pray enough. So, Lord, I want you to bless us and guide us as we learn about prayer and as we study the Psalms and the prayers of David. Thank you, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Psalm 5, that's where we're headed today. Psalm 5 is considered a plea for divine intervention. The circumstances surrounding Psalm 5, we don't know. We can only guess at. And because we discover in the intro to Psalm 5 that David is the author, several things come into people's minds. Was David having a difficult day in the pasture with the sheep? Did he have one of those moments where he talked about attacking the lion and the bear? Did he have a difficult moment in those younger days? Was it a difficult time after he had gotten involved with Saul the king, and Saul turned against him and tried to kill him and chased him through the countryside? Was it a difficult time when he was struggling with one of the enemies and waging war on behalf of Israel? We don't know that. Was it during the time when his son Absalom rebelled against him and he had to leave Jerusalem because of that threat? We don't know what circumstance this psalm was written under, but it seems to be a plea and a prayer. It is identified as a mourning prayer. And I think as the psalm was developed by David, this was the kind of the way he wanted to start out his day, with this kind of a prayer to God. So it may be a plea, a general plea, to just be with him throughout the day. And what we discover in this prayer is that it is firmly rooted in David's faith in God. I want to take a moment to outline Psalm 5, and I hope you're there now. For lack of a better term, I'm calling the first phrases of these psalms the introduction or the heading. The second is verses 1 to 3, which is kind of opening words, opening pleas that David makes for God to hear him. Verse 4 kind of stands alone in a unique way as a descriptive verse that talks to us about the nature of God. Then the rest of this psalm, from verses 5 through 12, are two-verse stanzas that describe alternatively. First, verses 5 to 6 talk about the rebellious wicked. 7 and 8 talk about the hopeful righteous. Back to 9 and 10, we talk about the rebellious wicked. Verses 11 and 12 talk about the hopeful righteous. And verse 12 is also a statement filled with the confidence and the hope of God blessing them. So follow along now. I'm going to read the whole psalm, and then we'll begin to discuss it. Psalm 5, for the director of music, for pipes, a psalm of David. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament, or consider my meditation. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, the bloodthirsty and the deceitful you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing, let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, though that those who love you, who love your name, may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. So the first part of verse 5 is the heading. Verse 5, Psalm 5 is the heading. And in some versions, they actually give the heading a number. In the NIV, they do not. So this is Psalm 5, verse 0, by some accounts. It is the heading. And we learn three things. These are instructions for the director of music. Now, sometimes this indicates a tune. In this particular song, it indicates an instrument for pipes. And pipes generally are flutes. Now, I don't have any idea what an ancient flute looked like. I'm kind of guessing they would almost be like a recorder or something of that sort. I doubt very much it would be what we think of as a flute, because we think of the metal tubes that are flute to blow across. Most likely, I'm guessing it's some form of recorder, and there may be a great variety in the sound and tone of those instruments. For pipes, some form of flutes, and it was said to be written by David. When I read my commentaries, I shake my head because there are people who doubt that it was written by David. They think it was written by somebody else. And I say to myself, the Bible says David wrote it. That's good enough for me. I don't know why they have to think and analyze. I think it's kind of almost an over-analysis. Let's look at the next main section, verses 1 to 3. And in this section, I want you to listen for a moment to the verbs. There are three verbs in this section. Listen, consider, hear. This is the psalmist crying out to God, asking him to listen, to consider, and to hear. Words. Words are spoken. Listen to my words, Lord. I'm going to stop there. You have that in front of you. That's Lord with all capital letters. Just want to remind you of that. The Hebrew word for Yahweh, God. Consider my lament. Now, lament is a meditation. In the King James, they use, listen to my words, Lord. Consider my meditation. So meditation is not spoken. It is unspoken. So words are spoken. Lament or meditation is unspoken. The psalmist is asking God to hear what he has to say, to hear his thoughts, to go beyond thoughts. And he directs this to my King and my God. Now that is a little unique. A king is an earthly ruler. Okay? So he's saying, listen to me, God. You are my earthly king. You are my ruler. Listen to me, my God. In the spiritual realm, he is obviously the ruler of the spiritual realm as here. But there is a dual difference. earthly, politics, kingship, God, heavenly, spiritual. God is the God of both layers, both levels. So God, the God of the Hebrews, is both God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and King of the earth, the world, and everything that makes it up. He is both God and King. In the morning, he says, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. And in the morning, I wait for your answers in expectation. Now, when I read this particular verse, I'm thinking, what an awesome way to start the day. Knowing and expecting God to hear what you have to say, knowing that God will hear your words spoken and the thoughts of your heart, your total being, and knowing that God is going to answer your prayers and having an expectation that they will be answered. All prayers are answered. Sometimes we are directed to the chair with the glasses hidden under the pillow. That is an answer to prayer. Sometimes we're directed to a line in the newspaper that gets us a job, right? Praise the Lord for those things. Sometimes we're directed in some other way. Sometimes, and I can't say this happened to me, but I do know that it is true, sometimes we're stuck in traffic and we're very frustrated, only to find out when we get to work that we just missed being involved in an accident. Every morning, and this is what makes me think that this is a part of David's ritual, should we not have a prayer like this to God? Every morning, should we not start out with listing these things? Lord, hear my spoken and unspoken prayer. Okay? Lord, answer me. Lord, I lay my request before you, and I'm expecting you to answer in some way, shape, or form. Yes, no, not yet. We move on to verse 5, and in verse 5, we get the nature of our God. God is not pleased with wickedness. It clearly says he's not pleased with wickedness. Now, you describe whatever in your own mind that means. You can think about it because in our world, we are surrounded by wickedness. God does not want evil people are not welcome into God's presence. This is the nature of God and evil. So we ask the profound question, why does he allow it? Why does he permit it? If there were no evil, everyone would be a believer. If there was no sin, no selfishness, it would almost be like we didn't have a choice. Without a choice, how much is our worship and love of God worth? Now, what's wrong, Patty? And she looks at me and she turns her head. So she says, I know something is wrong. I haven't heard you say I love you today yet. Oh, honey, I love you. That doesn't count because I had to tell you. We've all done that, have we not? So here is the reality. God wants us to love him and choose to be with him. But if we have no choice, then it's meaningless. So the evil in the world is there. And it's evil, and God hates it, and God doesn't want wicked people in his presence. But that enables those of us who love him to be all the more expressive and all the more closer to him because we choose to love him. God is the opposite of evil. God's nature is incompatible with evil. And it shows us the contrast of the opposite of evil and good. And almost every book, almost every movie, there's the element of good versus evil. We can find it in every aspect of our lives. And so, the nature of God is such that he does not like evil. Now, we begin this process where there's these composing verses. So this series of verses begins, 5 and 6, talking about the rebellious wicked. The rebellious wicked. The rebellious wicked person is arrogant. And an arrogant person cannot stand in the presence of God. Many arrogant people lift themselves up above everybody else. And in the presence of the perfect divine God, they just can't stand it because somebody is better than them. An arrogant, self-righteous person wants to make themselves feel better, and everything they do is revolved around that. They want to be superior, and they can't stand in God's presence. He also says, you hate all who do wrong. God hates people who do wrong. Now, God hates sin. He hates it when we sin. And he wants to love every person. But God clearly hates wrongdoing. And if that's the nature of the person that's involved, he hates them. Does he want them to turn and come back to him and be a part of his family? Absolutely. But when they're doing wrong, he hates their wrongdoing and he hates them. He also talks about liars will be destroyed. You destroy all who tell lies. Mama always knows the truth, don't they? We've talked about that many times in youth. Mama knows the truth. You might as well tell it to begin with. Because parents always figure it out. In God's mind, he knows all the lies. He knows all the lies. He knows all the manipulations. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful, Lord, you detest. He detests the bloodthirsty and the deceitful. So again, there's more to deceit than lies. You know, deceitful and bloodthirsty. Who are bloodthirsty? There are people who are willing to destroy anyone to move up in their society, in their culture, in their world. In the ancient days, that was a bloodthirsty person, because how did you get people out of the way? You were in your way? You killed them. You know, you made your way up in the ranks by killing folks. And this is the nature of God. Now, in verses 7 and 8, we have the hopeful righteous, which is the opposite. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. He's talking about David. He's the author, and we know that David was a faithful person after God's own heart. Because of David's righteousness, he can come into God's house. Now, there's more to that. Because of your great love, because of God's great love, I, David, can come into your house presence. Now, because he mentions house, that's why some people believe David didn't write this because the temple wasn't built yet. But when you say, come into your house, God's house is the universe. And you come into God's presence. And you can't come into God's presence unless you are righteous, unless you are forgiven. And so I believe that's what David is referencing here. I can come in to your house. I can come in to your presence. I can stand before you, God, without fear, because you, in your grace and love, have forgiven my sin and made me a righteous person. I believe that's what David is referencing in this verse. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Before I got there, let me see. He can bow down in the holy temple. He can worship. He can worship God. He can communicate with God. God has made him righteous. Lead me now in your righteousness, which is verse 8, because of my enemies. And this is one of those things that direct those who study the Psalms say maybe David is referencing specific enemies, like the lion and the bear in the wilderness as a shepherd, like Saul when he was trying to kill him, like Absalom, like other political peoples that he was at war with, or politicians he was trying to manipulate, okay, or trying to manipulate him. And so there could be any number of enemies referencing here. May your way be straight. Make your way straight before me. So you pray to God, and we all pray. And what we really want to know, we want to know what path does God want us to take. And we want him to make that path straight. There's several things that pop in my mind when I think about a straight path. I think about a straight path is easy to negotiate. I think about a straight path because you don't have to worry about turning left or right. I think about a path that God is directing us on. We want God to make our path clear. I knew in 5 minutes that I was on the wrong road. I knew it. I turned around. I went to my GPS, and the GPS showed me the way. I won't parallel a GPS with God because it's just a tool. God will show us our way if we seek it from him. Okay? This is the first of our parallel phrases. And now we go on then back to the rebellious wicked, which begins at verse 9 and goes through verse 10. Their words cannot be trusted. Remember, we talked about words, the things that we speak cannot be trusted, the rebellious wicked. Their heart is filled with malice. Now we're moving into the laments or the meditation or the heart, that they have wrong motives. They do not have pure motives. Their throat is an open grave. Their throat is like an open grave. I don't have a modern parallel for that, but it references the things they say and the way they express themselves are filled with falsehood. With their tongues, they tell lies. There again is the lies, and that's a part of what the open grave of the throat is about. Verse 10, declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. And that makes me think of the whole political intrigues, the plans that Saul was making, the plans that Absalom was making, the plans that others made. May their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins. Cast them out of your presence. Banish them from your eternal glory, for they have rebelled against you. They are rebellious. These are rebels against God. And again, loaded characteristics that we want to note in folks and note in ourselves. And then the last section, verses 11 to 12, once again, the hopeful righteous. Let all who take refuge in you, God, be glad. If we put our refuge in God, we can be glad. Let them sing for joy, even in the trying and difficult circumstances. Goes on to say, spread your protection over them. Protect them. Protect us from circumstances and even from enemies, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, verse 12, bless the righteous. Surround them with your favor like a shield of protection. So verse 11 and 12, once again, point to the hopeful righteousness, all of it. But verse 12 specifically brings this prayer, this psalm, to a close. Bless the righteous. Surround them with your favor like a shield of protection. Now, we transition now into what does this mean for us today. There are three goals that we have in studying the Psalms. The first is to understand something of how or why, the purpose behind the writing of this psalm. The second is to find Jesus in this psalm. And the third is to apply this psalm to us. First, let's talk about understanding the psalm. It is assumed that David was having problems. Not necessarily so, okay? But it is assumed. I like the idea that because the mourning is mentioned in this psalm in verse 3, that this is a great psalm to read at the beginning of the day and a great prayer to pray in the beginning of the day. In the face of whatever difficulties, challenges, or troubles that David was facing, he turns to God. And we can do the same. This prayer is how he went to God. And the lesson for us is prayer is how we go to God. Okay? I want to remind us, L-O-R-D in capital letters is a reference to God, the full nature of God. And so every time you see L-O-R-D, Lord, in capital letters, it represents the complete full God, which includes Jesus. Do not forget that in the Old Testament. We understand the Old Testament because of Jesus and finding Jesus there. And sometimes it's hard to think about that. But I notice when I read the Psalms that the word Lord being capitalized means that Jesus is involved. So when we pray to God, my King, my God, my Lord, when we pray these prayers out of the Old Testament, we are praying to Jesus. And now I want to talk about how this works for us in three ways. The Lord, capital letters, hears our words spoken in prayer and the meditations of our hearts. Words spoken and the thoughts of our hearts. He hears them. Jesus hears our prayers. God hears our prayers. Secondly, when we are in a difficult situation, we can pray and seek God and trust that he will guide us. When we seek him and do everything in our power to understand what he wants in a difficult situation, if we listen, we can expect that the Lord will guide us. And thirdly and lastly, we are to have the characteristics that we just reviewed of the hopeful, righteous people. Trusting in God, believing in God, seeking God, obeying God. That is who we need to be. So we can look through this psalm and we can see how we are to be and the characteristics that are to model our life. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm, Psalm 5. And I pray that you help us to take it to heart the way David prays in this psalm. And I want you, Lord, to help us apply it to ourselves so that we can worship you, so that we can be hopefully righteous people, so that in the morning we can lay before you our full day and you will take care of us. And we will give you the praise and the glory for that reality. Hear us as we sing our closing song today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.